Mark chapter 1 will be the passage from which our text will be coming today. Mark chapter 1, we're going to read beginning at verse number 40 to verse 45. Just those six verses. Mark chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 40 to verse 45. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. But let's now, with reverence, pay attention to God's most holy word. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So far, the reading of God's most holy word, and may the Lord himself bless it to each one of our hearts, and that to his glory. We'll pause now for a brief moment of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on his word today. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God. The whole earth is full of your glory. And when we open our Bibles, we see your holiness revealed to us in various ways, from beginning of the Bible to the end of it. When we look at your acts with the sons of men, when we see your works of providence, your works of creation, your works of redemption, we see nothing but your holiness. Your love is a holy love. Your justice is a holy justice. Everything about you is holy. And as we've read your words today, we pray that you will teach us about true holiness. That you will teach us about what it means to be cleansed from sin. Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we may be able to see the wonderful things that you want to reveal to us now. Grant me your help, O God, as I speak your word, that I will do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the blessing of all who hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, because you are our rock and our redeemer through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45 is our text, and we've read it together. Very brief passage, but a lot is contained in that short passage that is much to our benefit, spiritual benefit. And we're going to see a number of things that the Bible, or the Lord God himself, wants to teach us, wants to remind us about, and wants to convict us about. Some background, we've read Leviticus 13 and 14, and that provides a very helpful background to understanding passages like this in the New Testament, because we are so far removed from the experience of these people and what they knew. And for example, in the case of leprosy, we don't have a clue in our day. There's nothing in our day that would give us a clear understanding or clear insight on what it meant for a man or a woman to be a leper in Israel. And the Lord God in the Old Testament concerned for His holiness and the welfare of His people, had given them specific regulations to deal with various issues in their own life, in their own community, in their own relationship with Him. And Leviticus 13 and 14 is helpful because as you read, I hope you got a sense of it, as we are reading those passages, you begin to really see this is something really serious. Leprosy was serious disease, and it had to be dealt with seriously, relentlessly, ruthlessly. Anybody with leprosy was to be quarantined, as it were, isolated from the community, cast out of the city, isolated on his own, on her own, until he or she would be pronounced clean by the priest. But as long as you had leprosy, you would remain out of the city. You would not be allowed back into the city, and you would definitely not allowed to be in the house of God. And the priests were given specific stipulations on how to deal with the various kinds of leprosy. And so, when you have Leviticus 13 and 14 in the background, and you begin to see, whoa, how serious this is, and what it took for a man or a woman to be cleansed from leprosy. I mean, that was a very elaborate process you had to go through with the blood of animals and birds. And you'd have to wait 7 days, be checked out another 7 days, and if you're unclean, then you'd be declared so. And you'd be walking around wherever you are, you'd be saying, unclean, unclean. Why? So that the people could stay away from you. So that others would not be contaminated by your uncleanness. And we're going to see the spiritual application, the spiritual relationship between this leprosy and us. Now let's turn to Mark 1. A leper, the text says, verse 40, came to Jesus. And this leper, of course, knew his predicament, knew that he was an outcast in society. And the reason, I mean, the fact that he's coming to Christ is it just shows how desperate the man was. Yes, he had accepted his circumstances, his situation as a leper, but he didn't like it. He knew that it was not ideal, it was not nice, it was not pleasant. He wasn't really happy to be called a leper. Because if you're pronounced a leper, you might as well be pronounced dead. You remember, I think it's Aaron talking about his sister Miriam, when she had said blasphemous words against Moses. God struck her with leprosy, and Aaron said she's just as dead. And now, when she was as one who was dead. And so this man was basically dead, according to the custom of the time. There was no hope for him. But he comes to Jesus, and he comes as he was. There was nothing he could have done to cleanse himself. He came to Jesus as a leper. And I think there we get our first lesson. That if we want to come to Jesus for cleansing, for healing, for restoration from our spiritual illnesses, diseases, from our sin, as I'll be pointing out soon, we have to come as we are. There was nothing a leper could have done to heal himself or herself. Cleansing had to be pronounced on the leper. So this man came to Jesus as he was a leper. He came imploring him, and he knelt before Jesus. And he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." I want to point out here the dreadful nature of the disease that Jesus cured. In our culture, we know almost nothing about leprosy. But in those times, it was very common. A disease, it was an incurable disease, leprosy. There was no cure at all. But it was not just a mere skin disease, as we would think. It was a radical disease, very radical. And you know what? It affected the whole man, from head to toe. That's how bad this leprosy was. It not only attacks the skin, but it attacks the blood, the flesh, the bones, until the patient would begin to lose his extremities and the person would begin to rot little by little. And parts of his body would start falling off without even knowing, without even feeling any pain. That's how terrible this disease was. And among the Jews, to be a leper was the worst thing that could happen to you. That's why you were to be out of the city. You'd be considered unclean and cut off from the congregation of God's people. The privilege of coming to worship like we have done this morning would be totally taken away from you because of leprosy. You would no longer see your family or your friends and loved ones. You'd live in separate house. No one would even consider touching you. You are unclean. And when we think about the fact that this leprosy, as is used in Scripture, is to point us to the human condition, then we begin to see how serious sin really is. See, sin does not only affect your mind, it affects your whole person, your heart. From head to toe, we are tainted with sin. Even though we may not have leprosy in our day, there is this heinous, foul, deadly, sore disease called sin, which is ingrained in our very nature. And this sin clings to us. It clings to our bones, our marrow. And it has this deadly force about it. Like leprosy, sin is a deep-seated disease in the human soul. Like leprosy, it infects every part of our nature. Like leprosy, sin is abominable. It is an abomination before the Lord and before others. Like leprosy, sin makes us unfit for the company, the congregation of God's people and of God Himself. Sin separates us from God. It breaks fellowship between us and the living God. Sin makes us unfit, unworthy for the glories of heaven. Like leprosy, there is no physical cure for sin. There is no cure that can be given for sin by an earthly physician. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to go to the doctor and get cured for my sin. The best doctors in the world can do nothing to cure sin. And sin is so heinous that it kills us softly. Slow death, but it's surely dragging us down into the abyss. And the worst of all, perhaps far worse than leprosy, it is a disease from which no mortal man is exempt. We can talk about, oh, that person over there has leprosy, and the people of Israel could do that. Oh, that person over there has leprosy and has now been cast out of the city. Oh, and the other person there over there too. And this man here had leprosy. But there were some who were well. This was not their problem. Not so with sin. Every single human soul is sick of this disease. No exemption. No one is exempt, young or old, male or female, black or white, whatever it is, whoever you are not exempt from this terrible disease. We are all unclean in God's eyes. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible tells us. We are all unclean. I wonder this morning if you actually know that in and of yourself you are unclean before God. Have you discovered your own sinfulness? Have you discovered your own guilt and the corruption of your soul? Blessed are those who have been taught to feel that they are miserable sinners, hopeless apart from the mercy of God. Blessed are those who know that there is no health in them, that they are sick to the core of their being. Blessed are those who have learned that they are spiritual lepers. You are blessed if you know that. That you are bad, wicked, and sinful by nature. To know our disease is the first step towards our cure. Let me say that again. To know our disease is the first step towards our cure. We must know and accept that we are sick. You remember when Christ was speaking to the crowds and the disciples, says, those who are well don't need a physician. I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners. And I think all of us can understand that, right? If you're feeling okay and everything is good, you have no reason to go to the doctor, right? It would be a waste of time, waste of your resources. But when you are sick, it's not an option. You have to go to the doctor or you're going to die. Because that is the only hope for your cure. And so for us, if we will be healed from this sore disease. The first thing is to acknowledge it, to know that we are sick. And then to go where we can find healing. That is to Jesus Christ. Just like this man. He knew he was a leper. He knew his own predicament. And he knew where he could get help. And he came to Jesus as he was, kneeling before him, pleading with him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He knew that he had no right to command Jesus. Christ owed him no healing, owed him nothing. And he was at the mercy of Christ. So he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." How, that's a dreadful nature of this disease. But now let's see the amazing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does Jesus deal with this man? How does Jesus deal with this situation? In verse 41, we're not told what gap there was between verse 40 and verse 41, but I think it was a very short one. And I can tell you for sure it wasn't 7 days. Jesus did not wait 7 days to come to this man to consider whether or not he'll be healed or not, or to declare him clean or unclean. Moved with pity, moved with compassion, the Bible tells us, Jesus stretched out his hand. Did I read that right? He stretched out his hand and touched him. What are you doing, Jesus? No one is supposed to touch lepers. But Jesus did. When even his closest friends and relatives, his own family, would not touch this man, Jesus did it. He touched him. And there you see the mercy and the compassion of Jesus towards even the worst of sinners. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst." If you think of yourself as the worst of sinners, I have good news for you. Come to Christ. Call on Him. He will come to your rescue. He will even touch you with His power and change you. When the whole world is casting you out of the city and calling you an outcast and sidelining you and staying away from you, if you feel yourself condemned and doomed to die, know this, that in Jesus there is hope for you. No matter how sick your soul is with sin, no matter how much sin has infected your whole being, no matter how deeply steeped you feel, no matter how miserable your situation is, when you come to Jesus, if you come to Jesus, He will show you His compassion. He will show you His mercy. What Jesus did here was totally outrageous. A Jew, a rabbi, one who claimed to be from God, the Son of God, very God of very God, which meant that He's holy, pure, totally perfect. And then He's touching a leper. Only lepers will touch lepers. But not Jesus. And yet He did it. He broke tradition, in a sense, to show that He is the Lord the great physician of the soul. And so he touches this man. And then he says to him, I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. You hear Jesus saying, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will be clean. That is a command. Be clean. And at His word, at Christ's word, the Bible tells us, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Just like that. I mean, think with me about Leviticus 13 and 14. And all the elaborate process that a leper would have to go through, and all the shame that would be brought upon him and his family. I mean, this was so serious that even houses would have to be torn down. But here, in an instant, the leper is healed. Doesn't need to wait 7 days. Doesn't need to go wash his clothes. Doesn't need to do anything or cut his hair. He comes to Jesus, pleads for mercy. Jesus hears, answers and commands healing. And immediately healing is given. And the man is made clean. Here we are taught. We see here the power of Jesus over diseases. But you know what? Far better than this is the fact that Jesus has power over sin and death. Jesus has power over sin and over death. And those of us, which is every one of us, who know that we are sinners, we can come to Him with sure confidence that He will bring healing to our sin diseased souls. This man, when he came to Jesus and got healed, I mean, you can imagine the joy in his soul. Everything had changed for the better. I mean, he's just been brought back to life. He was as good as dead, as I was pointing out earlier. And now, he's alive. The morning sun has risen upon him again. He can sing with John Newton, I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. This is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Everything. His whole frame had been restored. His whole person had been restored. He now free from pain. Made fit for fellowship with other men again. He could now go back to the city, go back to his family, go back to the house of the Lord and worship the Lord. He is now full of hope and joy. Life has been given to a dead man. Oh, how we need to bless the Lord God that He has given us life in Jesus' name. That we who are once dead, as Ephesians 2 tells us, who are born dead in our sins and trespasses, have now been given life, have been raised from our sin, from the dead, through the merits of Jesus Christ. Because, listen to this, He was cast out in our place. He took our sin upon him and was treated as a leper. Cast out of the city, crucified as a cursed one on our behalf. Surely we must bless God that the Savior with whom we have to do is almighty, all-powerful, so merciful. It is a wonderful and comforting thing to know that with Christ nothing is impossible. God can do anything. He can bring life where there is no life. He made the world out of nothing. He can do anything. No heart disease is so deeply seated, but He is able to cure it. No plague of the soul is so virulent that God, our physician, cannot heal it. We must never despair when we see anyone's leprosy. We must not despair when we see people sick with sin and they don't seem to even know it. We must pray for them and implore Christ to bring life to them, to heal them. The worst spiritual lepers may yet be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a better blood, better than the blood of bulls and goats, better than the blood of those birds. It is the perfect cleansing blood which shall never lose its power. I mean, when you think about Manasseh in the Old Testament, when you think about Saul, for example, when you think about Zacchaeus, what could be worse? And yet all of these men were healed, were forgiven, were cured. Jesus Christ made them whole. The chief of sinners, as one said, may yet be brought near to God by the blood and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ, the blood of Christ, is our only hope. Yes, men are lost not because they are too bad to be saved. Those who are lost, it is not because they are too bad to be saved, but it is because they will not come to Jesus. There were many lepers in Israel. And the Bible tells us this. But it was Naaman, the Gentile, who was healed. And there would have, I'm sure there were many lepers at this time. But we have this record here of one leper coming to Jesus. The others, they didn't think much of him. They didn't want to come to him. And so they didn't get the healing. Not because their situation was too difficult for Christ to heal, but because they would not come to him to find cleansing. Finally, let's note something here that is almost surprising actually to find it in this story. After Jesus has healed this man, he sternly charges him to tell no one about it. I wouldn't have expected that. Say nothing about this. And then he says, but go and show yourself to the priest. You know why? Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. And in this time, the laws that we had read in Leviticus 13 and 14 were still in force. This man had to be declared clean by the priest, and it was necessary for him to go to the priest so that they would look at him, examine him, and truly say he's unclean. He's now clean because he's been healed of his leprosy. And that's the first reason, but also there's another reason. It was just too early for Jesus, for people to begin to know about all this about Jesus, because it would disrupt his ministry. And you notice here that the text is telling us that this man disobeyed this command. In his zeal, in his joy, he disobeyed the command that he was given. And as a result of it, what happened? He went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer enter the city openly. Because this man disobeyed the command of Christ, Christ could no longer enter the city openly. So he had to go to a desolate place and people would come to him there. There is a lesson, I think, of deep importance here. It may be, however difficult it is for us to understand it properly, but it is a lesson that we must understand. It is clear that there are times when our Lord would have us to work for Him quietly, without any pomp, silently, without calling attention to ourselves, without attracting public attention and with our noisy zeal. The Bible talks of a zeal without knowledge, and I think that's what this man had. The zeal that hinders the work of God. The cause of Christ our Master is sometimes better advanced by quietness and patience. Let me say that again. The cause of Christ our Master is sometimes better advanced by quietness and patience. We just do the work, our work quietly, without any pomp, without any attraction to ourselves, but just quietly, faithfully, patiently, day by day. And He'll bless it. Yes, indeed, some of us, perhaps the majority of Christians, are more inclined to be silent about the things of God than to talk about the things of God. And perhaps some of us need to be sort of shaken up a little bit so we can talk more about God when we are out there. But still, it is undeniable that there is a time for everything. There's a time to know when to speak for God and when to be quiet. And knowing and understanding this should be one of our chief aims, should be one of our greatest concerns. When is it appropriate for us to talk about Christ, to talk about the work that He's doing? When is it appropriate for us to just remain quiet and to pray quietly and do our work quietly? Many good men have more zeal than discretion. We need both. We need zeal and discretion, as if we're going to do the work of God. This man was strictly charged by Christ not to tell anyone of his cure. But we find him in the warmth of his zeal disobeying this injunction. And he's publishing his report abroad to everyone. And Jesus could no longer enter the city as a result of that. But may the Lord help us, that He'll give us wisdom and a sound mind. May we seek daily to know the path of duty and ask daily for wisdom and good sense, good understanding. But also let us be bold and be as bold as a lion in confessing Christ to others, and not being afraid to speak of Him even before kings and princes, if we are called upon to do so. But in all things, may we remember that wisdom is most profitable. So here we've seen the dreadful nature of this disease that we all have, sin, and yet the wondrous working power
healing power of Jesus, our great physician, one who went to the cross for us. May we come to Him daily for cleansing. And may we tell others about Him and be wise about it. Let us pray. O God, our Father, be gracious to us. Heal us, O God, from our leprosy. We have nowhere else to go, but we come to You. There is nothing we can do, O God, to cleanse ourselves. We come to You as we are. Receive us, O God, on the merits of Christ. Wash us and we shall be clean. Thank You that You are God who is merciful, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. One who does not treat us according to our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is Your love toward us. As a father has compassion on his children, so You, O God, has compassion on those who fear You. As far as the east is from the west, so far have You removed our transgressions from us. O Lord, we thank You for Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that You may fill each one of us with more of Your power, more of Your glory, more of Your Holy Spirit, that we may walk in the newness of life, being zealous for the good works and being wise in how we can conduct ourselves in this day and age. Bless us, pardon our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.